Certainly is a privilege and a blessing to be gathered together again. And we are happy to be back with the saints at Dublin again. We were in New Mexico for the last two Sundays. And I thought about it, and I guess I'm sure Brother Jay remembers. I believe it was before Leroy's and Jerry's were here, but probably about in 1976, there was a time that Brother Sidney Gingrich, which was Brother Doug's grandfather, came to Dublin and spent a little time and remembered. And that was a very, it was just good for us to have Brother Sidney here at that time. And it's one thing I remembered about Brother Sidney. He would just listen as long as you wanted to talk. But after you got finished, then he had some things to tell you. And I thought about it. I'd be pretty sure that Brother Sidney was probably younger than what I am now when he was here. It's pretty hard to imagine, though, from what I remembered him 40-some years ago. But in a way, when we were in New Mexico, I thought, well, I guess it's our purpose to be in New Mexico. We need to be the Brother Sidney out there for a little while. And we did have a good time. We enjoyed it and believe there was growth. And you know how it is when a new congregation is starting up. Well, we're happy to be back, and we do plan to be in Honduras the next 2 weeks. And I tell you that so you keep praying for us, and we think of y'all and pray for y'all. And just want to be useful in the Lord's work. I was anticipating coming to church this morning. I was really looking forward to it. Thought about how pleasant for people that love each other and love the Lord, same goals, we have so much in common, how pleasant to get together and to encourage each other. Should there be anything here that hinders our love and as we're here to help each other. And I was looking forward to the blessings, and I'll say that I've been blessed more than I even anticipated. Appreciated so much the songs, the opening songs. And I don't believe any of these brethren knew what I was wanting to talk about this morning. That song about the unseen hand that leads through ways I cannot see. And this hand still leads me as I go. I'm trusting to that unseen hand. And then we talked the devotion about old Jonah. And, just not letting all his weight down and how that affects us. I was just tremendously blessed by that. And I'm pretty sure Tim didn't know what I was going to preach about, but he led the song where it starts out, "Sweet are the promises. Sweet are the promises. Kind is the word." And that's what I want to talk about this morning, is the promises of God. I've been challenged and blessed thinking about God's promises. We like promises, don't we? Well, I asked the children a while back if they liked surprises, and they were quick to say they did, and then the surprise I gave them maybe wasn't quite what they were thinking of. We like promises, and I'm not going to try tricking you. We like promises if they're good, don't we? And we like promises if we can trust the person that promised us something. If Daddy promises that tomorrow he's going to take you to Dairy Queen and get an ice cream, we like it. And we believe that Dad's going to do that if he said he would. And when Dad does that, I say, yes, that's Dad. He keeps his word. Well, I feel kind of, I don't know, kind of loose-ended, I'll put it that way, this morning. But my burden is that we look to God, we look at his promises, and we believe him that he's well able. He has our good in mind. All those things that Joshua told us this morning in devotion, and I wish he could just come up and finish expounding. I'm sure he has more to say on that. But we can trust God for everything he's told us. We have no reason to keep the weight off of our seat. We can go ahead and rest in his promises. I was blessed just recently with a song The name of it's Go to the Deeps of God's Promise. Ask freely of Him and receive. All good may be had for the asking. If seeking, you truly believe. Go to the deeps of God's promise and know of His wonderful might. Whatever would be a true blessing for Jesus' sake comes as thy right. Go to the deeps of God's promise. The blessing is never denied. He loves and remembers His children, and every good thing is supplied. Go to the deeps of God's promise and claim whatsoever you will. The blessing of God will not fail thee. His word He will surely fulfill. In the course, go to the deeps of God's promise. There's wideness of meaning untold in the promises given His people and the treasures they ever unfold. I like to think about that wideness. That as you go and you rest in God's promises and as He opens the doors and leads you on and the treasures that come. Now, I'm afraid somebody's thinking, well, that sounds like health, wealth, and prosperity. Well, just hang on for another 30 minutes. Promise. Well, the goal of the message is to help us to get a fresh look at God. To get a fresh look at God, because as born-again believers, children of walking on planet Earth, we must see God. And when we see God is when we can see ourselves. Then we see how small we are, how weak we are, how much we need someone to help. And when God promises, He fulfills. And the Bible is full of showing. And I want us to be able to just rest more in God's promises. And the goal of the message to help us to go to the deep of God's promise. Where we can just, I like that illustration a lot about just sitting back in that plane. And let God pilot. Not asking God to be the co-pilot. God needs to be the pilot and we can rest in Him. You meet somebody at the end of the ramp with a sign on, need food, will work. And you stop and talk to him and he'd tell you, you know what, if you give me a sandwich, I'll give you $1,000. You wouldn't believe that promise, would you? We know that he doesn't have that to give. But I want to tell you this morning, children, old people, you can trust what God tells you. And what's in the Bible, and He says He will do. You can go all the way back to the book of Genesis and where He starts out and He promised the Redeemer. And where He promises to Abraham there would be a seed. And then He tells us in Acts about Jesus was born of the seed of David. It happened just like God said it would. God will do what He said, and you can trust Him. That's a little phrase that's a lot easier to memorize than that memory passage we're working on. I think a lot of us get A for effort, but probably F for performance on that one. But this little phrase right here, God will do what He said, and you can trust Him. I believe that one's easy to remember. I believe the school children could remember that one quick. God will do what He said, and you can trust Him. I would like to read for a text from Ephesians 1. And again, we welcome each one to this part of the service. We're glad we can be together in this way and talk about the promises of God. Ephesians 1, and I want to read 15 through 22. And this is Paul's prayer. But I especially want verse 19. 1:15 of Ephesians. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power which He wrought in Christ, when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Now, what does that have to do with God's promises? Unless we really believe in the sufficiency of Jesus, in God's complete all-powerfulness, then we won't, if we don't believe that God is all-powerful and he has us as our good in mind, and he's not extending those riches to us, then will we believe his promises? But when we know that a person has the resources, when we know that someone has the resources to give us what we need, and I want to emphasize that, what we need, then we can trust him. Look at that verse 19. Paul was praying, I want you to know the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. And this power was shown by raising Jesus from the dead. Now what? That's the greatest power that we can calculate today, isn't it? We can't calculate it. We talk horsepower, and we can get some of these big locomotives that have, I don't know how many thousand horsepower. And our minds kind of stagger because we're used to maybe a couple of hundred horsepower. But how do you put horsepower with giving life to the dead? You don't. There's a power that's just way up and above and beyond and not able to calculate it. Well, this is the power that God has. Ephesians 3:20 said, and now to him that is able to do, I would just like to holler those words, exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Even in our hard times, even in the difficult things, yes, God's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask, according to the power that worketh in us. Are you embarrassed sometimes when you think about the struggles we had and the doubts in our hearts and all the anguish of soul that we've gone through, and all at once we get a glimpse of that great power that God has, and here I've been putting about 95% of my weight on my feet instead of sitting in that seat like we heard about. You know what I mean? And yet, he has this exceeding abundant power that is to work in us. In verse 21 there in Ephesians 3:20 says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus. We want to glory in him. Just several other verses. 2 Peter 1:2 through 4. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you, brothers and sisters here at Dublin, through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. This is how grace and peace will be multiplied. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us... You about got it? Exceeding and great promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, brothers and sisters, we need a great glimpse of our mighty God. How much he loves us, how much he cares, his ability to do whatever he says. Do you think we ever stretch his resources to where he can... You probably had people that maybe came to you, at least you adults, and they needed this and they needed that, and finally you just like, your resources were just exhausted. You just really couldn't. You think we ever do that with God? Well, he has to go check the storehouse and his treasure house and, well, I don't know if I can help him through that situation. That's just a little more. No! God's able to do far above and beyond, exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. We can be partakers of divine nature. Galatians 3:16 says that now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. I'm here to tell you the blessing of the seed is through Christ. Blessings that God has for us is through Jesus. Acts 13, 22 and 23. And when he had removed him, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Just like he promised. I want to ask you, can we trust God? Can you trust God? Thank you. Yes, he is all-powerful. He's eternal. There's none like him. He's everywhere present. He's all-knowing. He's the creator. He's the giver of life. He sent the Redeemer. He's the Father of mercies. He loves righteousness and hates iniquity. He's never failed his word, and you can trust him. When all this world is gone, he still will be. Abraham was fully persuaded, Romans 4, chapter 4. Abraham being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness, put on his account, because he believed that he was well able to do what he said. Do we believe that, brothers and sisters? Paul, writing to Thomas, said, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Hebrews 10:23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. I just want to nail that one in one more time. God is faithful. 1 John 2:25 says, and this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. What more could we want? What more could we ask for? Do we really believe? Do we really believe that he can calm the storm? That he can walk on the water? Do we really believe that he'll take our hand through the hard things of life? Do we really believe that after this life is a home in heaven, where we can be with him forever? And I ask myself, then why is it so hard? I'm preaching to myself this morning. Why is it so hard than to just trust him? Why would we fear? Why would we be scared about tomorrow? Why are we troubled? Do we really believe his promises when we let the waves of life crash over us? I would like to look at a number of things that we've been promised. And I don't know if you're going to like the first one, but I told you to wait a little bit and we'll debunk the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel. But you can turn to John 16:33 if you want to see it in your Bible. First thing we've been promised, hard times. Nobody's really excited. We'll hear a lot of amens and hallelujahs over that one. These things I have spoken, in words of Jesus, red letter. These things I have spoken unto you that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I just remind you of something that you already know, brothers and sisters. We all have hard roads to travel. There's no way we can make an interstate highway for our children with all the fun and pleasure along the way. Us adults, we haven't had that, have we? Been hard things on the road. And I believe it's a part of philosophies of our day is that all of our hard times have been bad, and we really want to make life easy, and we should pave the road for our children so that they don't have all the hard things that we had. And I want to tell you, you'll never do that. You can Maybe you can get them all the money that they want, maybe. But I only make, most times, a bumpier road, often a different path, but still a hard road. But the sooner we learn how to handle the hard things in our life and to teach our children how to handle the hard things in our life, the better off they and us will be. That's what we're here for. Oh, yeah, we want to do the best we can. I don't want to, I'm not saying we need to just make life miserable. Not at all. But we teach, we learn how to handle the hard things in life and teach our children how to handle the hard things in life. Welcome, welcome. Glad to have you, Robert. Talking about the promises of God. And the first thing he promised us, that we would have trouble. There'd be tribulation in the world. There's sorrow. There's death. There's crying. These things have not been wiped away yet. There's distresses. There are family members that take the wrong road. Hard things in life. Be of good cheer. Jesus said, I've overcome the wicked one. In me you will have peace. Well, I'm jumping to another one then. But that's the first one. Oh, and 2 Timothy 3:1 said, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. There's no way to escape that. God told us this is what's going to happen. It will happen. It is here today. Men are lovers of themselves, swollen with conceit. The word heady means. Well, number two, what have we been promised? For number two, I put peace. We've been promised peace and our needs supplied. John 1, verse 79, this is when Zacchaeus was talking, was prophesying about his son John. And he said that his son John will tell about Jesus, and Jesus will guide our feet in the way of peace. These things, John 16, 33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. There's again the same verse, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the wicked one. God is the God of peace. And if peace is not in our heart, we need more of God. I like that song, there's peace though the world be raging. There's peace in the shelter of his arms. I was talking to someone one time and they were telling me a whole lot of things that were wrong. Hard things that just everywhere. And I was writing them down. When we got finished, I held up the sheet and said, you know what? You can be at rest in your soul and deal with every one of these problems here. And I believe that with all my heart. Again, I'm challenging myself. Whatever problems you have, God wants to give you peace and rest. Does that mean you won't have to be concerned about it? No, you'll be concerned about it. But you'll take God's way with a calmness, knowing that He's promised to, well, some more things coming on. Philippians 4:19 says, my God shall supply all your need. All your need. He doesn't say everything you want, does he? And praise God, he knows what we need. If he gave us everything we wanted, it would probably be for our eternal harm. He knows our need. And he'll supply all our need according to the riches of his glory by Christ Jesus. And his peace is available even when we don't know how we're going to make it. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, promised. He promises peace and our needs supplied. Number three, he's promised us his presence. Hebrews 13:5-6. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he saith, I will never leave thee, nor forsake thee. That's God's promise. And we can claim it in the hardest of situations where God said, I won't leave you. Do we believe that? Or are we still standing in our seat? Therefore, we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I thought of the verse there in Romans 8, if God is for us, if God is with us, who can be against us? So what if somebody doesn't understand us, our neighbor doesn't understand us, or maybe our brother or sister doesn't understand us, and they think we're off the wall or whatever? God is with us. And he won't leave us. He won't forsake us. This Almighty God that we were talking about, the Eternal One, the Creator, the Giver of life, the One who loves mercy, the One that's full of compassion, all-powerful, all-knowing, with our good in mind, compassionate, ever-present, I won't leave you. He promised us his presence. I will never leave thee. Number four, he promised acceptance. Acceptance. Isn't that wonderful? I've mentioned the book John Koblenz wrote about Accepted in Jesus. I recommend that book for every person to read. And I don't believe, let me say it positive, I believe that everybody, to some level or another, has struggled with the area of rejection. Some to a greater degree and some to a lesser degree. The book has plenty of good for everybody. But God accepts. You never need to worry about. Our acceptance is not based on race, nationality, lineage, class, wealth, intelligence, upbringing, or even our feelings about ourselves. Our acceptance isn't based on any of that. Our acceptance is based on Christ's love. He made us creatures of choice. He provided redemption through Jesus. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Isn't that wonderful? He adopts us into his family. We can call him Father. He loves us. He's with us. He accepts us. Just think, God calls you his son, daughter. In the hardest of situations, us fathers know what it's like to have daughters and sons and get in a tough situation, and we would just love to do everything we can, but there's only a certain amount that we can do. And there's God with unlimited supply of grace and strength and all the resources. He said, okay, daughter, I know the children are sick and the house is a mess and you've got more to do than you'll ever get done. I know that. I'll be here with you. I give you grace. I'll stay with you. You're still my daughter. We could say some of the same things on the men's side. I don't know how we'll make a living. I don't know how we'll make the ends meet. I don't know how we'll raise all our family and all those things. God says, you're still my son. I'm still with you. I won't leave you. I accept you, just who you are, where you are. I just love that song, Just As I Am Without One Plea. And that's the way we come to God. It's the way we came on day one. That's the way we come 50 years later. Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. And I fall at the cross, say, God, I need your help. And he accepts us. He brings us into his family. Number five, he promises forgiveness. And maybe this one should have been way earlier on the list. But if we confess our sins, He, I love that word, state of being, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You don't have to worry. Well, now, God, did you forgive me? Will you forgive me? I don't know if you did forgive everything or not. I want to tell you, God's heart, He wants to forgive you. If you're ready to give it up, He's ready to forgive. He takes our sins away to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Matthew 6, 14 and 15, if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive your trespasses. But if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. So if you have a little grudge you're harboring against brother, sister, neighbor, friend, well, then you might as well quit asking God to forgive you. These words are really plain, aren't they? I don't have to draw a picture on that one. It's there. If we forgive others, but that's what He offers. He will. And God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He promises forgiveness. Never doubt it. That's the devil's work. He makes you doubt whether you're forgiven. Tries to take you back to things from years ago and things that you're unsure about. I want to tell you, if there's something in your life, God's Spirit will speak plainly. And if it's just confusion, I think I can tell you, by the goodness of God, you can move on and not worry about those things that only bring confusion in the past. Number six, He promises strength. And don't we need strength for today? We get so weak. We are so weak. I believe the older we get, the more we realize how weak we are. And the older we get, we realize how few years until we will be frail. Maybe somebody will be wheeling us in here on a chair with wheels on it. And oh, how soon come our time to leave this work for somebody else. But He promised strength. Peter, 1 Peter 1, 5 says, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. We're kept by God's power. Colossians 1, 11 says, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. Now, strengthen with all might. What's the link in between here? We feel that. This is what we need, to be strengthened with some kind of might. But what kind of power does God have? You know, if I put that little John Deere tractor on a big disc, the power is not according to the need, and it won't go. But here we are needing strength, and we're able to be strengthened according to His glorious power. This power, like we read earlier, that raised Jesus from the dead. This is the kind of strength. This is the resources. This is the treasure house. And what He takes, what does He want? Somebody that sits back in the seat, say, God, I'm ready. I'll go where You want me to go. I believe Your promises. I know You'll be with me. Help me, Lord. According to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. It is only when we trust in the promises of God and take them on as our very own that we can have joy in our heart. And we believe that God, great God, almighty God, loving God, eternal heavenly Father, He is well able to take care of me at all my needs. And then sit back with joyfulness. We don't need to fear tomorrow. We don't need to fear the economic situation. We don't need to fear our freedoms. And we don't need to fear that someone is going to take our life. Because what if they do? And we'll be at home with the Lord. Which leads to the last point that He promised us. He promised that He would come and take us to eternal life. John 14, 3, Jesus said, He was just about ready to go back to heaven. And he said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will think about coming back and get... No. What's that word again? Will. I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, that state of being, every one of us can be also. 1 John 2:25, and this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. One day there'll be no more tribulation, there'll be no more misery, there'll be no more distresses and heartaches and sickness and hospitals and all those things that we get bogged down with here on earth, because He's promised us eternal life. I really like Revelation 3:21, thinking about this promise. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Let your minds wander a little bit. Maybe we've never seen a kingly throne, but you know what it's like in pictures and imaginations. You think of a king on the throne. Take your minds on up to God. We've been talking about Him. How great, big, and we think of heaven. And what did He say? To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Can you imagine, Lord, when God takes you and said, come on and sit down here beside me. And it gets anybody else, come sit over here. I don't know where we have to take turns or how that's going to be. Or is it just big enough we can all sit with Him? But that's a promise. We can sit with God in His throne. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in His throne. Does anybody feel like you deserve that? I don't think any of us do. We don't deserve the least of His mercies. We don't deserve the peace in the troubled storm. We don't deserve strength. We don't deserve forgiveness. We don't deserve all the things that we've been talking about. We certainly don't deserve to sit with Him in His throne. And there we can ask Him all those questions that we don't know about, and we get our little ideas and we don't understand things nearly all the same. But when we get there, we can... Maybe we can even go over to Moses and ask him a couple questions, and to John. And won't it be wonderful, the most of all, to sit with God in His throne and be there with Jesus? What a promise. And I ask you, are the toils of life worth it? Are you ready to keep going on? When you think about what He's promised us and the surety of His ability to give what we need, not what we want, all the time. But I think our wants are even met when we realize that we want what is best, so we make it to heaven. What a promise. 2 Corinthians 7:1 says, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. In other words, I hope that the message this morning does more to us than say, well, we just got a good feeling and God's going to take care of us no matter what. But I hope, my prayer, just like Paul here, since we have these promises, that we're going to leave this place and we're going to apply this word to our life. We're going to look into God's word, and we're going to, by His help, to cleanse our hearts from those old things that hinder and drag us down and take us towards the world and the devil, and turn our hearts to God. Cleanse our heart from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, and then perfecting holiness. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. I remember my dad praying many times that God would give us a love for righteousness and a hatred for sin. That's our prayer this morning. Remember, brothers and sisters, that God's goodwill is extended towards us. You think about it. I wish so bad I could describe the greatness of God better. I feel very inadequate. But I want you to know that God's goodwill is extended toward us. And He wants our response of trust and faith and obedience, where we claim His promises. And we're able to just sit back in that seat. His arms are open. His ear is listening. And those that come to Him, He won't cast out. He won't cast out. What a great God. What a great God. So this morning, brothers and sisters, I don't know all the struggles of your life, but I know that we all have struggles. And so I encourage you this morning to trust Him in every struggle that you are having and every one that will come. There's a brighter day ahead. I wouldn't want any other way of life today. I look around at people who have turned away from God and taken their own way. I wouldn't trade them for anything. And then I look ahead, and our future is as bright as the promises of God. Let's walk with Him and be faithful. Let's kneel for prayer.